I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. So we are coming to the end of the year. Soon it will be Christmas. And as we had prayed, let us make use of this season profitably. There are many out there who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What an opportune time this is for us to share the gospel of truth with people. It is during this time that people are more receptive to the gospel somehow. All right, they are more inclined to listen to what we say. So let us capitalize on this opportunity. Will we do that, friends? Let's do it. All right. So December season, very good time for us to share the gospel of truth. So I will urge all of us here to participate in the street evangelism that will take place in December. Now, let us talk about what we want today for our instruction. And my topic this morning is daunting challenges ahead. Now, in our life, I'm sure we meet with many challenges. Now, some of these challenges could be very, very daunting indeed. So daunting that even before we embark to meet these challenges, we already freak out, as it were, because the challenges are so daunting, we don't think that we have the necessary strength to meet the challenges. Now, today we want to talk about this great challenge, a very, very daunting challenge faced by this man called Joshua, one of the great heroes of the faith. Now, the children of Israel had now completed their 40-year wilderness wandering, and now they had come very, very close to the land of promise, and they were about to enter into this land. And Moses, their great leader, had passed away. And now the leadership over the children of Israel was passed on to this young man from Moses to Joshua. Actually, Joshua at this time was not very young. Yes, he was at this time, I think, about 90 years old. All right, so not young. Now, Moses was a spiritual giant, and the kind of testimony that he presented was something very difficult to copy. Yes, and he was one who led a very, very murmuring, stiff-necked, faithless, disobedient, rebellious people, the children of Israel. Yes. There were about 2 million of them when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, how was Moses able to lead them? Now, Moses was able to lead them because the Lord was with him. The Lord had called him to perform this task, and the Lord was with him to perform this task. And so he was able to successfully lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and also in the wilderness wandering. Now, while he was given the privilege to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and in the wilderness wandering, he was not given the privilege to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, to conquer the land of promise. Now, this privilege was given to his second in command, Joshua. Now, the task was very, very daunting indeed. How would you feel if you were in Joshua's shoes? Surely you would say, the shoes of Moses are just too large for me to fill. Impossible for me to perform this task. People are not going to respect me as the way they respected Moses. And even Moses, great as he was, found it very, very challenging and hard to lead these very, very stiff-necked people. What about me? I'm not Moses. The challenge was indeed very enormous for him. Now, this morning, I'd like us to consider three things. Number one, God's commission to Joshua. Number two, God's promises to Joshua for him to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise and to conquer the land of promise. And finally, God's commission to Joshua with the conditions for success. All right, success was dependent on these conditions which Joshua must fulfill. Now, first, God's commission to Joshua was to accomplish what? Accomplish Mission Impossible. And look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Alright? Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now listen to the commission. What was it? Or what is it? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, it was a very clear and simple order. Joshua, go into this land with the children of Israel. Go and occupy this land. Clear and simple order. But to accomplish it was an insurmountable feat. Humanly speaking, the land was occupied by nations which were greater than the nation of Israel. Right? The land was occupied by the Canaanites, by the Amorites, by the Hittites, by the Jebusites, and by the Girgashites, and so forth. And occupied even by giants, the Anakims. So the land, in the eyes of people who did not have faith, would be a land that was not conquerable. But who commissioned Joshua? That's vitally important. All right, Joshua did commission himself. But who was it who commissioned him? It was not just anybody. It was God who commissioned him. Look at verse 1 again. Yes, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. It was the Lord, the Almighty God, who gave this commission to Joshua. He is the one with whom nothing is impossible. Joshua, looking back, would have recognized that it was this God who delivered them out of the slavery in the land of Egypt. It was this God who parted the Red Sea that enabled the children of Israel to cross over dry land. It was this God who led the children of Israel in the 40-year wilderness wandering. It was this God who enabled them to fight against their enemies victoriously. It was this God who provided them with heavenly food, pouring down manna from heaven daily, except on the Sabbath day. And then it was this God who led them by a pillar of cloud during the day, which also provided as a shield from the heat of the sun, of the desert sun. And it was this God who led them by a pillar of fire at night, which also provided heat to protect the children of Israel against the cold of the desert. So, and then this God was the God who also preserved their clothing and their footwear, so that both their clothing and their footwear did not wear out over the 40 years wilderness wandering. So this God had proven himself to be both able and faithful, who never let the children of Israel down. When he gave the command, he would surely accomplish it. He would surely do it. He would surely perform it. Friends, my question for all of us is this: has he commissioned you to do anything for him? All of us here, has he commissioned us to do anything for him? Think for a moment. Has he commissioned you to serve him in this church? Has he commissioned you to be a leader in the church? Has he commissioned you to be a Sunday school teacher in this church? Has he commissioned you to be a Bible study leader in the church? Or has he commissioned you to do various other things in the church? There are so many things that he might have commissioned us to do. The task that he has commissioned us to perform could be very daunting, because it is overwhelmingly challenging. Now, we may feel very, very inadequate. Now, is the feeling of inadequacy very good? I think it is. All right. It is very, very necessary for us to feel inadequate. It is when we feel inadequate that we are more willing to depend on the Lord to do the task that he has commissioned us to perform than to depend on ourselves. Now, so it is a good feeling to have. Yes, that feeling will cause us to lean on the one true living God to perform the things that he wants us to do. Now, service for him, let us understand, is not limited to service unto the Lord in the church, not limited to that. We could be serving Him at our workplace, we could be serving Him in our school, we could be serving Him in the university that we are in, we could be serving Him at home. Yes? Now, the situation at our workplace, the place that the Lord has placed us in, could be very, very tough, could be overwhelmingly challenged. It could be so because the work assignment that we have been given is a very, very tough assignment. And then the boss that we have to work with is a very, very difficult boss to work with. And then our colleagues, they are very, very unreasonable people, very uncooperative, very difficult to work with also. And then the business clients that we have are not exactly the people easy to relate with. So things seem to be against us. But friends, if the Lord has commissioned us to be in this place that we are in, my dear friends, He will surely be with us to enable us to perform the task well. And so, what we need to do is, when we are in this difficult situation at our workplace, is to look up to the Lord, to ask Him for help. And will He not help us? My dear friends, He has shown Himself to be faithful to great heroes of the faith. And these are examples for us to follow. Likewise, my dear friends, we have to do what they do, and that is to call out unto the Lord for help, and He will surely help us. Then, mothers could have very difficult domestic affairs to attend to, right? Your challenges in the home could be very, very great, very, very daunting, because your children are very difficult to parent. Yes, that could be your challenge. Your children may not be doing well in school, not because of anything, but because they love to play games and they don't concentrate well. Or they could be facing insecurity in the school because their classmates have not been very friendly to them, and they are not relating well with your children are not relating well with them. Yes, and the health might not be very good. They need to go and see the doctor very often. And so, you have children that are very, very difficult to parent. Now, what should you do, my dear friends? Now, mothers, if the Lord has called you to be in the position that you're in today, my dear friends, He will surely grant you the necessary grace and strength to enable you to perform your task well. What you need to do is to look up to the Lord, call out to Him for help, and He will enable you to be the kind of mothers that He wants you to be. Then what about students? You could be in a school, your schoolwork could be very, very tough for you to manage. Yes, and then you could have schoolmates, classmates that are very, very difficult for you to relate with. And then your teachers don't seem to like you. All right. But friends, if the Lord has called you to be a student, and if He has placed you in that school, my dear friends, He will surely enable you to accomplish that task well for Him. Now, what you need to do is, again, like others, to look up to the Lord and ask Him for help to enable you to be the student that He wants you to be. So then, to all of us, in whatever position we are in, the question really for us is this: is where I am where the Lord wants me to be? That's the question. And the other question is the task that I'm performing the task that the Lord wants me to perform? Now, this is the other question. Now, if the answer is yes, we can be very sure that we can trust this God of ours to enable us to accomplish the task, because He's the one who placed us there. He is the one who has commissioned us to be in that place. And for this God who showed Himself to be faithful to Moses and to Joshua will surely be faithful to us. Why? Because He's the same God. Yes, as the same God that Moses and Joshua had, and the same God that we have today. Yes, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And surely He will enable us to accomplish the task that He has commissioned us to perform. Next, the Lord said something to Joshua that seems very obvious. The Lord said this, Moses, my servant is dead. Very obvious, right? Moses, my servant is dead. Moses is already dead. That's a given. Yes, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, why did the Lord say that to Joshua? First, it was to tell Joshua not to look back and wish for something that had taken place in the past to be brought to the present. In other words, don't hope or don't wish for Moses to be around anymore. He's gone. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, aren't we very, very inclined to do that? Very often, we like to look back. Yes, when somebody who has been doing a job well is gone, we keep on looking back. We say that we wish that that person is here today to do the work. Isn't it so? Very often we do that. And because we keep on looking back, we could feel very, very discouraged because we would imagine in our mind that the people around us today are not able to do as good a job as people in time past. Such a feeling, my dear friends, only shows that we are very man-dependent and rather than God-dependent in our service unto Him. It shows that we do not trust God to continue to do His good work in the present. My dear friends, that must never be the case. We must not be looking back, but rather look at the present and be looking into the future. If the Lord is with us, my dear friends, nothing can be against us. Then the work of the Lord goes on. Yes, even if Moses is not around, this was the message that God wanted Joshua to understand. God's plan will surely or would surely be carried out. True, Moses was dead, but the God of Moses was not. God is alive, He is faithful, and He is able. Let us always remember this truth. Now, Moses, my servant, is dead. This was also to tell Joshua not to be, to tell Joshua this. No man is indispensable. No man is indispensable. When one servant of the Lord is gone, God is well able to raise up another servant to take his place. God is well able to do that. So that thought, my dear friends, should be very humbling to all of us here who are in the service of the Lord. We are not indispensable. If we choose not to serve Him today, if we have the talents to do so, you can be sure that God is well able to raise up others who are willing to serve Him and who are humble and are available to serve Him. He will surely do that, and He's well able to do that. Now, we have this sinful nature in us that often makes us feel that we are indispensable in the organization or indispensable to the organization or to the church that we are involved in. We think that the church or the organization cannot do without us. And we think that if we should leave, the church or the organization would collapse. Friends, let us humble ourselves to realize that all of us, if we have a part to play in God's big orchestra, it is because God is very gracious to us. Out of His grace, He has given us the privilege to serve Him. My dear friends, let us understand this truth. And if we realize that God has given us this privilege to serve Him out of His grace, then we should all go on our knees to thank Him and say, Lord, I thank You for Your very special grace upon me to have given me this privilege to serve You. Friends, let us take advantage of this privilege to serve Him and never let us think that any one of us is indispensable. Now, verse 1 again. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Yes. Now, the Lord did not speak to anyone else, but He spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. You know, when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, there were about 2 million people or so. And out of those 2 million people, there were something like 600,000 people who were able-bodied. And then in the course of time in the wilderness wandering, there were males that were born in the wilderness wandering. You know, so the population was all the time around 2 million or so, because there were people who died in the wilderness wandering. But my point is this. There were so many men among the children of Israel. Whom did God choose? Whom did God speak to? He didn't speak to anyone else, but he spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, he didn't even speak to Caleb. Remember, Caleb was the other great hero of the faith who went out with the other 11 spies, among whom was Joshua, to scout the promised land from this place called Kadesh Barnea. Yes, all of them came back with one piece of good news, and that was the land was flowing with milk and honey. But only Joshua and Caleb came back with eyes of faith to say that the land was conquerable. So you would say that Caleb was one who was very honorable. He was a great hero of the faith. And it was true, a great hero of the faith. But did God choose Caleb? God did not choose Caleb. God chose Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, then you think of Moses. You would say, the right person actually to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise must be Moses. But not even Moses was chosen. Only Joshua, the son of Nun, was chosen. So what you call that action, my dear friends, that is an action of grace. He chose Joshua, the son of Nun. Likewise, my dear friends, let us understand this. It is out of the grace of God, that we have been chosen to be saved out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Yes, it is out of the grace of God that God has given us this place to play in His big orchestra. My dear friends, let us be very, very thankful to Him and praise Him and thank Him and say, Lord, thank You for this very, very special grace that You have shown to me. You didn't call my colleagues. You didn't call other people. You didn't call people better than I am to be saved. But You called me. And then You have commissioned me to give me this special place for me to serve You in Your vineyard. My dear friends, we should all be very, very happy. We should all be very, very thankful and seize the opportunity that He has given us to serve Him. Now, do we do that, my dear friends? Opportunities are given to us to serve Him. Do we say, yes, Lord, thank You. I'm so very happy that You have given me this opportunity to serve. Thank You for this privilege. So, my dear friends, let us capitalize on every privilege and opportunity given to us to serve. Now, let us also see that when God commissioned, He also prepared. He commissioned Joshua to serve. He also prepared Joshua to serve. Now, Joshua was not a novice in the Lord's service. He was he was Moses' right-hand man. I remember he was that young general some 40 years earlier who led the children of Israel to fight the first battle after they came out of the land of Egypt. So soon after they came out of the land of Egypt, they came to this place called Rephidim. And there they fought their first battle against their enemies, the Amalekites. And who was that young general who led the children of Israel to fight victoriously against the Amalekites? It was Joshua. Yes, Joshua. And then again, remember, among the 12 spies, he was one of them, and he and Caleb were the only ones who, despite the promised land, came back with good news and also said that the land was conquerable. So he had the experience to go into that military expedition. And then he was also the one who accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai to receive God's Ten Commandments. Of course, he didn't go to the spot where God spoke to Moses and gave him these commandments, but he was the one who accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai. Yes. So, my dear friends, he was one who was well prepared for this service unto the Lord. Likewise, when God commissions us to perform a task for Him, He prepares us for it. For service in the church for Him, He will groom us. If He wants us to be a deacon, He will prepare us for deaconship. If He wants us to be an elder in the church, He will prepare us for eldership. Now, if we are not prepared, we will fail. Or should I say this, if He does not prepare us, we will fail. Now, this is the basic principle that we must make use of to choose people into positions of leadership in the church. Now, I've seen in some churches, ours included, by the way, some churches, ours included, where novices were placed in positions of leadership. True, they might be successful managers, they could be successful bosses, they could be successful professionals, but these are not the necessarily qualities that are to be looked for leadership in the church. They could be useful qualities to have, but the required quality is spiritual well-being, spiritual wellness, and the required qualification is spiritual qualification. How willing are these people to serve? How willing are they to be prepared to serve rather than to be served? Because as leaders in the church, we are not to lord over other people. As the Lord Jesus Christ came not to be served but to serve, so are we to serve and not to be served. And how well are we to how well concerned are we over the spiritual well-being of others in the church? Which means, my dear friends, how concerned are we about coming to the church prayer meeting to pray for them so that all in the church might be doing well for the Lord? So the basic principle is this: no novices for holy office in the church. Yes, the choice of leadership in the church must be dependent on how prepared that person is to serve the Lord. And when I say how prepared a person is to serve the Lord, what I mean is how well he has been prepared by the Lord to serve him. Now, one quality the Lord planted in Joshua to prepare him for service must have been this quality of meekness and humility. He saw this great quality in Moses. Remember, the word of God says something about the meekness of Moses. The Lord says that Moses was a man who was meek above all the men on the face of the earth. That was how meek Moses was. And Joshua must have seen the meekness of this great leader that was leading the children of Israel. And Joshua must have learned this meekness from him. Because when Joshua passed away, this was what was said of Joshua in Joshua 24, verse 29. Look at this man, Joshua. Let's turn to this verse. Joshua 24:29. Let me read for you. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Now, he was not described as a great military general, not a five-star general. He was not described as a great hero of the faith. But friends, he was simply termed as what? A servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord. Surely this was a very, very meek person, a very humble person who led the children of Israel from one conquest to another in the promised land. So you see, whom the Lord commissions, he also prepares him for the mission which the Lord has commissioned him to perform. Now let me move on to my next point. When God commissions, he does so with his promises. Look at the promises given to Joshua. Look at verses 3 to 5. Verses 3 to 5. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, meaning from the south, yes, and this Lebanon, which is in the north, even unto the great river Euphrates on the east, and all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. What is this great sea? The Mediterranean Sea, of course. Yes, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, would Joshua dare to charge ahead to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise without these promises given to him? Would he dare to do it? My dear friends, I don't think he would dare to do it. It would be suicidal for him if he did, if God didn't give him these promises and he were to charge forward to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. First of all, how were the children going to cross the river Jordan, which was actually flooded at that time? So I understand. Yes, it was overflowing at that time. How was he going to lead the children of Israel to go over the river Jordan? Then they were not going to go over into the promised land for a holiday, not going there for an excursion. No, they were going into the land of promise to make war with the people of the land. And those people, remember, were making up the nations that were more powerful than the people of Israel. More powerful than the Israelites. They were mightier than they. But God told him this: as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This was the promise that God gave to Joshua. You see, Joshua had seen the faithfulness of God to Moses, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. And Moses had seen the faithfulness that God shown to Moses. And now he understood that this faithfulness was going to be shown to him also. And God had manifested his power in delivering the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He had manifested his power in the way he led the children of Israel in the wilderness. And Joshua also saw the power of God when the children of Israel defeated the Amorites and the Moabites when they came close to the border of the promised land. Joshua saw all that. Now, God was with Moses to enable him to lead. That's why Moses was successful in his leadership. Now, God was telling Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. In other words, Joshua, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. And so Joshua acted on this promise. He knew that God would be with him, and God would not fail him. And that is why he was successful in his mission that God committed him to perform. Now, friends, let us understand that when we are commissioned by him, he will be with us as he was with Moses and as he was with Joshua. This God of ours is the same God of Moses and of Joshua. And as we said earlier on, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Moreover, this mighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ has given us this wonderful promise, this wonderful assurance. What did he say to us before he ascended up to heaven? He said what? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, what task has he commissioned us to perform? Of course, he has commissioned us to perform many tasks for him, but there is one common task that he has assigned for us to perform. And what is it? What has he commissioned us to do? He said to us, be ye witnesses unto me. That is what he has commissioned us to be. Be his witnesses. Yes, go out into the world and tell the gospel to people. That is his commission for us. And if we are willing to accept this commission, and if we are serious about it, my dear friends, will we be successful in our mission? Answer? Of course, yes. Yes, it is just that we are not willing to accept this commission. If we accept it and we are serious about it, my dear friends, the Lord will surely be with us to enable us to be successful in the mission that he has commissioned us to perform. Next, another point, God commissions and he promises success. But there are conditions for success, conditions that we must fulfill. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Joshua 1 and also verse 9. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In other words, you bring these people into the promised land, and I promise you that, as I sworn to your forefathers, that I will be dividing this land up to these people, the children of Israel. That's what the Lord says here. Only, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of a good courage. My dear friends, this is a very, very vitally important condition for us to fulfill if we want to be successful in our mission for the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. It is so important that in these few verses, how many times did the Lord say these words? Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Then look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And verse 9, all right? Verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. In just these few verses, he said it three times. God said it three times. So you can see how important this condition is for us to fulfill if we want to be of use for the Lord and be successful in his service. Now, how can we be strong? And how can we be of good courage? My dear friends, the only way for us to have good courage, strong courage, is to have faith. And how may we have faith? We always come back to the same thing, my dear friends. How may we have faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, hearing of the word of God. That's how faith comes to us. We must hear God's word. Now the question we might ask is, did Joshua hear God's word? Yes or no? Of course he heard God's word. And from whom did he hear God's word? From Moses, of course. He heard it from Moses. Yes, God must have taught him through Moses. So he heard these teachings from the great Moses. And he saw that whatever God said, he would do. Yes, whatever he said he would do, he would do. Friends, today we are actually in a more advantageous position than Joshua ever was in. You know, Joshua didn't have the complete Bible. He just had some words, a few words, from the Lord God. But today we are in a more advantageous position. We have the complete Word of God. And we might say that we have hindsight experience of the great heroes of the faith. The heroes of the faith didn't have hindsight. You know, they went out by faith. But today, what do we have? We read the experiences of the heroes of the faith. And so we can say that we have hindsight of the great heroes of the faith. We know how they accomplished the great feats. We look at all the experiences and we can say that we have hindsight experiences of the great heroes of the faith. They didn't have that advantage. We have that advantage today. Now, to grow in faith, there is only one way, my dear friends. We must read God's word. Yes, read God's word, believe God's word, and then feed on God's word, meditate on God's word. And as we said already, Joshua lived in the days when the revelation of God was not complete because he didn't have the full Bible. But today, we know more than the great heroes of the faith. For example, we know that God's mighty Holy Spirit dwells in us today. Now, did the saints in the Old Testament know that? They possibly knew, but not in the way that we know today. We know it fully well, but they might have known it in a faint manner. And today, we know that we can live victoriously by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who indwells us, who talks with us, and who walks with us. Did the Old Testament saints know that? Possibly. But in a faint manner. But we know it in a full manner. So friends, today we have much, much more knowledge of the Word of God to strengthen us in the faith than Joshua and the other great heroes of the faith had. So we are really in a very, very advantageous position. Now the Lord says to us, be strong and of a good courage. Now, it is worthwhile to understand what courage is. Do you think courage means the absence of fear? What do you think? Many people think that that is what courage is. It is the absence of fear. No, friends, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the willingness to push ahead, to push on in the face of fear, to do that which is right with the knowledge that the Lord is with us. That is what courage is, to push ahead, yes, in spite of our fear, to do that which is right, yes, with the knowledge of that the Lord is with us. Now the question is, all right, how do we handle our challenges and our difficulties with courage? The Lord gives us courage, but how? How do we handle our challenges and difficulties? The right way, my dear friends, is to confess that we are fearful and that we need Him. First of all, we must humble ourselves and realize that we are fearful and we are in need of Him. We must say to the Lord, Lord, I'm very, very fearful without You. Give me the strength and the courage to push ahead to do that which is right for You. In my strength, I know I will fail, but with You, nothing is impossible. And You have promised me that You will not leave me nor forsake me. Then with this confidence, I will do what You want me to do. That is what, my dear friends, having courage is, and going forward to face our challenges with our courage. Then, what is meant by being strong? What is meant by being strong? All right, here is not being muscularly strong, but being strong means we are not to yield to do wrong, but we are to be steadfast to do that which is right. Not to yield to do wrong, but to be very, very steadfast to do that which is right. And verse 7 says, turn not from it. The it here refers to the law of Moses. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, be very focused in obeying the law which Moses has given, God has given to you through Moses. My dear friends, that is strength. Don't turn to the left, nor turn to the right from the law, but keep focused. Keep obeying the law. That is what is meant by strength. Now, how focused are we in obeying God's law in order that we be truly strong? How focused must we be, rather, in obeying God's law in order that we be truly strong? God says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Yes, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, we must necessarily meditate on God's word if we want to be strong. Now, it was tough for Joshua to be strong. It would be easy for him, actually, to cave into the pressure of the people. Yes, it was easy for him to play to the gallery like the politicians do today. They play to the gallery. It would be easy for him to be like Aaron. You remember Aaron at the foot of Mount Sinai? Yes, when Moses was up on the Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments, the children of Israel pressured him to raise a golden calf for them to worship. And Aaron caved in. He raised a golden calf for the people to worship. The golden calf. So it would be easy for him to cave into the pressure of the people. Then it would have been easy for Joshua to compromise and to make deals. You know, people like to say this today. And to make deals with the Canaanites in the land. Easy to make deals with the Amorites, with the Girgashites, with the Jebusites, with the Hittites and so forth. Make deals with them and make peace with them rather than to go to war with them, against them. But friends, yes, what did Joshua do? What did he have? Joshua had moral courage to stand up for what was right. And he stood up. Friends, he stood up. He was strong. The question is, how was he able to be strong? He was able to be strong because he was meditating on God's word. Yes, day and night, so that he could do the things which are commanded of him by the one true living God through Moses. For us to be successful in what the Lord has commissioned us to do, we we too must be strong. Yes, we must be strong in what? My dear friends, be strong in obeying the word of the Lord. Yes, if we want to be successful in our service for the Lord. So friends, in conclusion, what has the Lord commissioned us to do? For sure, he has commissioned us to live for him. For sure, he has commissioned us to bring honor and glory to him. Along the way, he commissions us to perform certain tasks. And for sure, he has commissioned all of us to do one thing for him, and that is to be his witnesses, to go out into the world and share the gospel with people. That is what he has commissioned all of us to do who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we fail in doing what he wants us to do? My dear friends, if we are willing to do what he wants us to do, will he fail? No, he will not fail. Yes, he is the all-powerful God, both able and faithful. Yes, and I remember the words that come out of his mouth will never return unto him void. He has given us his promises for success to perform all those which he has commissioned us to do. His promises never fail because he is the unfailing God. As he was with Joshua and with Moses, he is with us today. As he said to Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Today he says the same thing to us. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then for successful accomplishment of the task, we must be strong morally on the side of righteousness, on the side of God, and of a good courage. And what is meant by good courage? Or how can we have good courage? Good courage comes by having faith in the one true living God. And how may we have faith? No other way, friends, for us to have faith, we must know God's word. Yes, we must believe in God's word. Yes, we must apply God's word to our life. And if we know God's word, our faith will increase. And when our faith increases, then our courage will also increase. Then how may we be strong? We may be strong by meditating on God's word day and night, and not to depart, and not allow God's word to depart from our mouth. In other words, when we speak, we must always be speaking the truth, so that we may all be able to observe to do according to all that the Lord has commanded us to do. Now, my dear friends, if we are strong and of good courage and be able to do all that the Lord has commanded us to do, we will surely be successful and we will surely be prosperous in the things which the Lord has commanded us to perform. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have given to us. We realize that in life there are many daunting challenges, and sometimes, oh Lord, the challenges can be so overwhelming that we would feel defeated even before we start on the path to meet these challenges. But Father, we thank you that you have given us your promise that you will be with us. As you have commissioned us to perform the task, you have given us the promises to be successful. But we also realize that for success, we must fulfill conditions that you have laid down for us. Namely, we are to be strong and of good courage, strong in obeying your word, courageous in knowing, courageous and be acting by faith. And Lord, we know that faith will come to us only if we were to meditate on your word and to apply your word to our lives. So Lord, help us to be strong and of a good courage for you, so that we may be able to be prosperous and successful in the things that you want us to do. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.